time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down before the big bowl of sugary cereal and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watched Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs.
Joseph, how does the theme song of this go?
Saber Rider.
And the Star Sheriffs.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Because it's like, it's so muted in the background that if you're not listening for it, and if you didn't know the name of the show, you wouldn't even hear
it. It kind of seems like adding the Star Sheriffs part of the song was kind of an afterthought.
Oh, yeah. Star Sheriffs, somebody throw
it
in.
The Star Sheriffs!
the singer, he's gone for the day. Well, just get the janitor, anybody. Just say Star Sheriffs.
Just find someone. Yeah. Just pulled someone off the street.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't have any money, but I'll give you a McDouble from the fridge if you can
from
say.
From the fridge.
And the
Not
Star
even
Sheriffs.
A fresh one. Not that they're fresh anyway, but you know, whatever.
No. That stuff's all microwaved, man.
So who suggested this to us?
This was suggested by Kobe on Twitter. So thank you very much, Kobe.
Thanks, Kobe.
Thanks, Kobe.
So the show Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs ran from 1987 to 1988, created by World Events Productions, but it was based on the show Star Musketeer Bismarck by Studio Pierrot. It was also produced by World Event Productions, ran for one season, 52 episodes. It was a first-run syndication, so it just ran on multiple networks. And for a short synopsis, in the distant future, a team of four high-tech star sheriffs defends frontier space colony Yuma from outlaws, as well as outriders, an army of humanoid alien beings called Vapors, led by mysterious nemesis who need Yuma's resources. All right.
Wow, that is a mouthful of, like, they threw in a lot of names. Like
that was a little confusing. Basically,
yeah,
the
confusing.
Star Sheriffs are defending Yuma from the Outriders who are trying to get the resources.
But they're right. The Outriders are also known as Vapors, right?
They're like, yeah, the Outriders are the team of alien humanoids who are also called Vapors.
So the aliens are Vapors, but the specific group of Vapors are the Outriders?
Yes. And I guess their dimension...
You're like, yes.
I guess it's the vapor dimension that they go back to. Well, here's the thing. Like, let me just start off by saying that this was one of those that was really kind of a softened American remake.
I could tell.
Yeah, that was very much in the vein of Gatchaman, which turned into Battle of the Planets, because it's like these guys, you know, when they shoot their lasers at the enemy and the enemy is literally turned to dust, they're not killing them. They're turning them, or they're transporting them back to their vapor dimension is what they say.
Yes.
But obviously in the original show, Star Musketeer Bismarck, they are literally killing them and it's a much more violent show.
Yeah. I wondered because, I'll wait till the very last episode. There's like a very specific thing that they say. And I'm like, no, he's dead.
Oh no.
He's very dead.
You know.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean. We know. So, Chris, who are some of the actors who played in this show?
Okie dokie. So, the voices of Saber Rider and Jesse Blue were done by Rob Paulson. Pretty much the majority of the actors I'm about to name are people we've seen for a very, very, very long time in the course of our show. So, Rob Paulson, famous for Transformers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Tick, Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain. You know who Rob Paulson is by now, right? Yeah. Yeah, you do. You know, I'm looking at you, you know. The voice of Fireball was done by Pat Fraley, also famous for Ghostbusters, not the real Ghostbusters, but Ghostbusters, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as Krang. The voice of Colt was Townsend Coleman, also famous for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Tick, Pinky the Brain. Are you guys noticing a trend right now? Like, these guys are all in the same stuff together. April Eagle, what a name, was voiced by Pat Music. And she has been prominent in cartoons like The Smurfs, The Tick, Duckman, and An American Tale. And then finally, the narrator, Commander Eagle, Nemesis, and Ramrod were all voiced by the amazing Peter Cullen, who is famous for Ghostbusters, Winnie the Pooh as Eeyore, and Optimus Prime and Ironhide in Transformers. So, yay! Like, really good cast, man. Like, these guys, aside from maybe Pat, because she's just not as well known, everyone else in here is such a, like, a huge heavy hitter in the voice acting world in America.
Yeah, what's kind of crazy about this is a situation where, and maybe I'm skipping ahead a little bit, because I feel like it's a situation where the show wasn't worthy of the voice actors that it had attached to it. But like I said, I'm skipping ahead. We'll get there. So for a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of Star Sheriff cereal. So like I said, the show was based on Japanese anime series Star Musketeer Bismarck, which was created by Studio Pierro that achieved moderate success in Japan. But again, it was a much less toned down version than this is, of course, because it had actual killings, because the American audience of the time, especially, or at least the cartoons made in America, you know, in the 80s and around that time were very sensitive about, you know, cartoon violence. So they cut back wherever they could. And this was, you know, quote unquote, a victim of that. When they brought it over to American audiences, they really emphasized more on the kind of cowboy Western theme of it and pushed that. They made 6 additional episodes that were animated noticeably different from the actual Japanese version, just to emphasize that, hey, you know, this is a Western thing and here's the universe that we have and how it's different from, you know, the Bismarck one. And also in the original one, it wasn't led by Star Saber. It was led by Fireball is what his name is.
Okay.
In the American
version. That makes
sense
because Fireball is the one that gets the girl. So,
yeah.
And like, he's got a lot more, he seems more integral to the overall plot.
Yeah, but exactly.
Even though, like, I don't know though, I kind of like that in the American version, he wasn't the leader, because that gives a lot of weight to a character that isn't the leader of the team. And I think that's, I don't know, I like that idea.
It's interesting, but what I'm surprised they didn't do, since they had brought it over to America, is try to make Colt the leader, since he's the American member of the team. So, you know, kudos to them for not taking the easy way out and making it the I think this guy was Scottish.
He was supposed to be either British or Australian.
No, he wasn't, because I read it somewhere. Yeah, he was like Scottish, but
I thought he had the Australian flag.
Yeah, he had that flag, but he was still like, I think it was Scottish, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, good Lord.
I know it was kind of confusing, but so let's just lay that out. So Colt, the cowboy, most cowboy-esque of all of them, is the American guy.
Yes.
The Fireball guy we were talking about earlier, who's like the race car dude, is the Japanese.
He's Japanese.
And the girl, April Eagle, is she's French. And then, this guy, you know, I believe he's Scottish, you know.
That's so weird. That doesn't even make any sense. Yeah. Like, he had a completely different, like, country's flag on his attire.
It was weird.
Weird.
So there's also, what's kind of cool is they're coming out with a video game for this year, which is crazy. It's Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs, the game, and it's being developed by a German group called Team Saber Rider.
Really?
It's under the license of both World Events Production, who created it, and Studio Pierro, and the game is planned for multiple platforms, targeting for its release in Q3 of 2017. So later this year, there's going to be a video game based on the 80s series Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs.
Nice. That's kind of cool.
That's neat. And I looked at a few screenshots of it. It looks pretty cool. It's like kind of a 2D, like, scrolling platformer.
You know what? We need more scrolling platformers. I miss those.
It looks very similar to maybe Metal Slug, maybe less like over the top, cool. though. Yeah.
Hey, I just found some information. So I went to look up, just like, I was like, I have to see what the deal is with Saber Rider. So you're right. He's from the Scottish Highlands, but he does wear the British Union Jack. On his arm and his helmet.
That's what it is.
But so, like, we are never told the real names. Like, in at least the 3 episodes we watch, we never heard the real names. But I have the real names here. So Saber Rider's real name is Richard Lancelot. Fireball, and they refer to him as Fireball and then his last name, but his real name is Shinji Hikari. And then Colt, his real name is William Wilcox.
Well, okay, but that's because the reason we don't hear their names is because that's them from the Star Musketeer Bismarck.
From the other show,
that's their names. Yeah, so it's not that that's their names in this universe. It's just
so they didn't even like give them real names for.
No, they just have like that guy's like birth name is probably Fireball.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's in really this universe. Stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like in the Japanese one, April Eagle's name was actually Marianne Louvre, and I'm like, which is a very French name, and I'm like, why didn't they just keep that? That's so April Eagle is the worst name ever. Come on. So Ramrod was originally Bismarck.
Yeah.
And which, like, Bismarck, that's a stupid name because that makes me think of, like, I just think of the cookie. And then, but Ramrod, like, that just, I don't know, that's a stupid name too. And I mean, like, you know, it just, I guess it makes you think of kind of a battering ram or like a euphemism. But, like, I mean, in this day and age, it makes me think of Super Troopers.
Yeah.
You know, where like Farva's like Team Ramrod.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, that was a stupid name. They made some dumb decisions.
Some of the choices they made were real bad. Oh, well, lastly, on the Marshmallows, though, this was announced in January 20th of 2016. Lionforge Comics announced a new comic miniseries based on the show would be launching on March 16th of 2016. And it has, and I looked on Comixology, and it's a 4-issue miniseries that's kind of a reboot of the show's premise in order to appeal to the new generation. I don't know how it is or if it's any good, but it has 4 comics out that came out last year. So it's like there's a modern, almost resurgence, not resurgence, because I wouldn't say it's that big, but it's funny that we're covering this while these things are, the comic series literally just came out last year and the video game's coming out later this year. So we're kind of sandwiched in between 2 releases of this weird old show.
Yeah, so apparently there's people out there that still love this IP because, I mean, they're still making stuff, which is cool. You know, like, I actually kind of enjoyed it in to a degree. And I feel like if I would have seen the original, like, the Japanese, and if I could see that with an English subtitle or something, like, feel like it would have been really good.
Yeah, exactly. It suffers from the same thing that Gatchaman Battle of the Planets did, where it's like, after we watched Battle of the Planets and then I watched an episode of Gatchaman to compare, I was like, man, this is so much better. And that led me to buy the entire series of Gatchaman because it's so good. And I feel like that's very similar with this show, where I bet if I watch the Bismarck one, it's probably really awesome. And this one has its awesome parts, like you said, where it's there are certain things I really did enjoy about it. But just like you, it's to a degree. And then that's where it just kind of goes downhill.
And honestly, like, I mean, it's a pity because that happens a lot with Japanese animation that heads here, at least like back in the 80s and 90s. Because, I mean, even Sailor Moon suffered from that, too, because on our Sailor Moon episode, we found out that it was so edited from what it originally was. And like they made, you know, Serena out to be this huge crybaby as her friends were being defeated. But in the Japanese version, we find out it's because they're not being defeated. They're being murdered. You're like, oh, the other Sailor Scouts are dead. No wonder she's crying. But in the American version, they just make it look like she's this big wimp and like, oh, I got defeated. Oh, my friend. God, woe is me. But I'm like, oh, my God, that changes everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, man, these studios were just ruining the crap out of some of these.
Yeah, they're really just dumbing them down, and it's not until you really see them in comparison you can be like, oh man, like, look what we missed out on. But as a kid, I guess you don't really notice those things.
Right.
But do you remember this show at all?
No, I had never heard of this until it was suggested.
Yeah, same here. And it's like we were talking about, it's got a good following to it, but I'm surprised I'd never heard of it, seeing as how big the following is. Well, I guess relatively big.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I assumed it had a big following in Japan or something like that. I didn't realize that there is still a following, like, you know, in other parts of the world, like Germany or here.
Well, I think it's kind of like the Battle of the Planets following, where like there's some people that just swear by Battle of the Planets. Even, you know, comic book artist Alex Ross is a big fan of Battle of the Planets, but it's got to be a lot of it's like rose tinted glasses because
that's awful.
That show is not great, but the original show, the source show, is so it's one of those things where if you're going to watch it, go back to that one. But anyway, we should I mean, I had never heard of this either, so let's go ahead and just jump into the episodes we watched for today's show and get this rolling. Very first episode, highest rated episode, finally random listener chosen episode. Order may vary depending on how this episode falls chronologically, but of course we have to start with the very first episode, being Star Sheriff Roundup, Season 1, Episode 1. And in this one, Saber Rider is narrating the story of how he first met his new teammates, Fireball and Colt, and, I guess April as well. And then, they travel to planet Yuma searching for an Outrider named Vanquo.
And if you guys didn't already pick up on this, the theme song of this is probably the cheesiest thing you've ever heard. and it's a minute and a half long. Like, the introduction to every episode is literally, it's a minute 25 on the dot. That's a little too long.
Especially since all it is like repeating Saber Rider over and over again and whispering Star Sheriff.
Well, and then in the middle, you have Peter Cullen's voice. It's like, Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs last week disembarked on blah, blah, blah. And like, they give you a little recap and then they go back into the song and just keep the song going for another like 30 seconds.
Don't they actually show like what's going to happen in this episode?
Yeah, I think sometimes they do show clips of what you're going to see. And I'm like, why? Why would you do that? It's like showing the movie trailer for the movie that you're there to see.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't make any sense.
This week on Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs, here's what happens. Now watch what happens.
The team captures Jesse Blue. And then you're like,
spoiler.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. There's even a line that's like, can you feel the thunder inside and hear the lightning crack as you ride? Oh, my gosh. It's so corny.
Oh, yeah.
It is the corniest theme song. He mentions like he's introing the episode, but in a way that it's like this is already happening. Like, we're already together and here's how we met. So he's introing this origin from the perspective of we're already a team. And he first introduces, you know, Ramrod, as we were saying, which is a giant mech shaped like a, well, it's not even a mech all the time. It's like a giant ship, but it can turn into a huge cowboy looking thing.
It's like if someone tried to redraw Soundwave from Transformers as a cowboy, because that's what it looks like. It looks like Soundwave.
Sheriff Soundwave.
I like it.
The bounty hunter. So Colt is a bounty hunter who's seeking Vanquo, and April is the daughter of the leader of the...
She is the daughter of Commander Eagle, who is... basically, he's in command of the Star Sheriffs, and they're like a galactic police force kind of thing.
Yeah, what's their whole group called, though? Because it's like there's so many different sects of it. It's like the something cavalry command.
I think the cavalry is honestly just another sect of it.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like a bigger... I don't remember what the bigger term is, but yeah. There's a lot. Maybe it is cavalry. I don't know, man. They throw so many. That's the one of the downfalls of this thing is there's so many organization names and stuff that I confuse them all. It's just like the Outriders and the Vapors. I'm like, oh, now I know that they're the same thing. But
yeah, you wouldn't know it just watching through these things.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, man.
Unless you watch maybe the whole thing.
Real quick, before I forget, I just wanted to say, like, the episodes that we watched, even though it was like jumping from episode 1 to 3 to 52, it's like episode 3 and episode 52 connected so well that it's amazing.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, that we watched them. I'm so glad we watched them back to back because then we understood more of 52.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, back to 1. So they're meeting up. We see Fireball win this race. I didn't know it was a race at first. I thought he was just driving out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, because he was by himself in the middle of a desert. There was nobody else around him. And it's not like there was a crowd cheering him on. He's just driving through a desert. And
then the ship starts trying to like destroy him or take him out.
Yeah, this guy starts like trying to hit him. And that ends up being Colt. And Colt's like, oh, wrong guy. Sorry.
And then he ends up winning the race anyway. And then it's like, oh, okay. Like, he was literally in the middle of a race, hits the finish line. Everybody's cheering for him. It's like, wow, this went a completely different direction than I thought it was going to.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Colt is the cowboy bounty hunter. One thing to know about him, we don't see this too much in the episodes we watched, but apparently he's like not a ladies man as much as he just hits on every lady that he runs across.
He's just misogynist, basically. I mean, that's probably the best way to do it.
Maybe so. Yeah. He's hitting on this one girl who confronts him in the hotel room, I think. she's like, you know, my dad found out and he's mad. And she's like, you didn't tell me you had a father. It's like, well, yeah, why wouldn't she have a father?
That made me laugh. I thought that was funny.
That made me laugh too, because I was like, that's so dumb.
Yeah, you didn't tell me you had a father. He is pretty much how I think the rest of the world probably pictures Americans. Like, he's really kind of obnoxious and he's got a very Texan accent.
Yeah.
And like, he's the most stereotypical, like, Texan American kind of thing you can think of. No offense, Joseph.
That's okay.
Oh, and then, and we get to see, and this is weird. So Star Saber shows up and, before he ends up meeting Fireball, he lands his space horse. It's like a robot horse, I guess. I think it's a robot that he rides through space. And he like hands over the reins to this like this guy. And he's like, please give him a lube job.
Oh, yes.
I was dying.
I wrote that down. It was hilarious.
Oh, God.
So he's going to give
in tears.
He asked him to give his horse like a lube job and some sugar. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I don't think that meant the same thing that it would now.
I would think not, but I don't know, man.
Either like, way, like, I don't
know how Rob Paulson got through that with a straight face.
It's just, that was so funny. Yeah. I'll give my horse a lube job and a lump of sugar. Great.
So, well, then I'm wondering if maybe the horse isn't robotic. Maybe it's a horse, but wearing robotic space armor.
Maybe it's a cybernetic.
Yeah, it's a cyborg horse, a cy-horse.
Cy-horse.
Borg horse? I don't know.
A Borg horse. Horse Borg.
It's a horse Borg. It's really confusing. But then he meets Fireball at the front desk of this hotel. And well, he's wanting a very specific room in this hotel. And it turns out that's Fireball's room. The guy's like, I can't give you that room because it's rented out. And then he tries to steal the key from Fireball and they start arguing over it. And well, and that's when Colt shows up because he smacks the key out of both of their hands. And just, yeah, that's how all three of them meet for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's demanding that he gets his room. He's just like, I have important business. I have to have your room.
Yeah, he won't say what it is. He's just like, I'm on an important mission. Fireball's like, well, that's your own problem. Which I was like, that's good. That's what I would have said.
Yeah, but then he's just like, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we just share the room? Fireball's upset about it at first. He's like, okay, but I don't have to like it. It's such a corny setup. Like, I can't even imagine what the actual dialogue was in the Bismarck version, but it can't have been that bad.
Let's head upstairs and let me give you a lube job. Yeah,
I'll give you a lube job and some sugar, honey.
Play your cards right, you might get more than one lump of sugar. Jeez.
Don't you want to be like my cy horse? My horse borg?
My horse borg? I'll ride you like a horse borg.
Oh my gosh.
All across space.
Horse borg. We got to keep it at horse borg because that sounds the dumbest.
What just happened?
Where are we? Oh, what are we even talking about?
Oh. Where are we? When Colt shows up, he's like, it like blasts this Mexican standoff kind of music.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got like a sombrero and a blanket over him. I'm like, really?
This is his cowboy disguise, though. That's not his actual outfit. And they come across an outrider, I believe.
This confuses me too.
Yeah. And then Colt confronts him and he's just like, from vapor you came and to vapor you shall return. And this is where he just shoots him and he obviously disintegrates. But then they're like, well, send him back to his own dimension. He's not dead.
Well, here's the thing. This is my question. It's why was it a vampire? I mean, it was very obviously a vampire. It had the fangs. It had... just white eyes. It had clawed fingers. I'm like, what the hell?
The Outriders were all like weird monster things. Because remember in like the next episode, there's
a werewolf
guy? Yeah.
And there's also like a werelynx or something, like a bobcat. I don't know. But yeah, there's some weird stuff and they don't explain it. And I'm like, wait, so they fight vampires in space? That's cool. But then that's the only vampire we see, so...
I bet that, well, we only watched three episodes. There's probably more vampire stuff.
That's true. Yeah, I want to see more space vampires, man.
I wonder if they're all, like, monster-themed. That would be cool. I would really like that.
Of course you would. And especially if they're in space, I mean.
Monsters in space. Yeah, I would love that.
Space
Wolves.
Or, I don't know. Space Wolves. This is a weird show.
Yeah. Like from there, they're battling Outriders. April hops in to save Ramrod, and then she brings them to the Ramrod vehicle and is basically like, hey, you know, we need you all right now. Like normally it would take longer, but instead here's some badges and
they don't even get badges, man.
Oh no, it's EBUs, electronic badge units, because they don't have the real badges yet.
Yeah, because like so it was basically an emergency. They're like, we need people to help man Ramrod. And what a coincidence, these three specific people have the three specific skills needed to make Ramrod work to its full potential.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they get in Ramrod to fly it and stuff like that, and then Ramrod transforms into what do they call it?
Into its challenge phase.
Challenge phase, which just means it turns into like, you know, a robot. Like it's basically
a transformer.
Gundam. And then, but Ramrod has its own voice. And that voice is Peter Cullen doing his best John Wayne impression.
So it's Optimus Prime, John Wayne.
Yeah. And like but it sounds so much like John Wayne that I was waiting to hear the word pilgrim.
You know, like, somewhere in the show they have it.
Pilgrim. That wasn't a very good impression. Saddle up, pilgrim. I don't know.
The name of the voice that is coming out is Ramrod 2. So it's not Ramrod talking. It's the AI unit, Ramrod 2, that's aboard Ramrod.
Oh, good Lord.
There's so many different names for everything. It's so confusing.
And like, okay, and here's one thing I noticed. So so Ramrod fights like a big giant monster. I don't know what it was. I don't remember. It was weird. Of course they win. My question is, during that fight, and I know the answer to this, but I just want to bring it up just for conversation's sake, which is there's one part where they're fighting and Ramrod ducks down to one knee and is firing a gun, and it's like pitch black out, like it's nighttime. And the very next scene, which shows the lasers hitting the monster, it is broad daylight. And then like the monster dies, and then it shows like the three guys and the girl, whose name I suddenly forgot, April. And then it's like very much like sunset. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, and I mean, I know that the answer is obviously they were recycling footage.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was really weird. And I'm like, did they just say, I don't care and we're just going to do it anyway? Or was it a case of they legitimately didn't notice that there was a time shift like three times? There was a lot of, I didn't notice it in the other episodes, but there's a lot of recycled footage in this first episode, especially because, I mean, you could tell where there's spots where they have a certain character talking longer than obviously he did in the original, because the mouth would move a certain way, and then you could see where the cut was and it looped. And I think it's specifically, it was either Colt or Star Saber, there's one scene where it very obviously looped four times.
Yeah.
And like I mean, it's obviously it was dubbed anyway. So, I mean, the audio doesn't match the mouths moving whatsoever. I mean, it's not even close, but.
And let me say, like I said before, as much as these voice actors are amazing, they got such poor lines.
Yeah.
That it really was an unfortunate usage of these talents.
And like, honestly, I gotta say, like, and no offense to Rob Paulsen, like, I don't think he does a great British accent. Also for Peter Cullen. And this may have, you know, this obviously Rob Paulsen was probably asked to do a British accent. And maybe he's like, I can't do that. And they're like, well, you have to. And he's like, well, I'll do my best. With Peter Cullen too, I don't know what the direction he was given was, but almost he plays like five characters in the show and almost all of them sound exactly the same.
Yeah, they're all just Optimus Prime 2.0. Yeah,
you could tell when it was him. Like, it was very obvious.
Well, because it has that, like, deep booming voice to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, his voice is so deep and gravelly and just, you can tell every time it's him.
Before we spend too much more time on this episode, basically, they are now the Star Sheriffs. And they're now part of the Star Sheriffs. They drive the Ramrod.
Even though they didn't get badges.
They don't get the badges yet, but they get the EBUs.
And what was funny about that, though, was that Colt and Fireball almost didn't join at the end because they wanted badges.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's like, I'll see if we have spare badges. And they're like, yeah.
That's what convinced them, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought that was really funny, and I thought that was a really good way to show off their personality, that those two are a little on the goofy side.
I feel like that would be us if we had to join the Star Sheriffs.
Oh, absolutely, man. If I'm going to be called a sheriff, I need a badge.
I need a silver badge. It needs to say sheriff. The end. That's all I need.
Exactly.
The closing line of this episode was, wherever danger leads us, wherever the people need us, that's where you'll find the Star Sheriffs.
All I can do is sigh.
So the next episode we watched for today's show was Jesse's Revenge, season 1, episode 3, which was the highest rated.
It was. And it was okay, I guess, but I feel like there was probably better episodes than this one, but it was okay.
Well, here's what I think. I think this was a great lead-in episode for probably a lot of stuff that happened afterwards. I mean, we watched this and then we watched the last episode, but I'm sure there's a lot that happens in between that probably involves this Jesse character.
So you think that this was probably like, it was a highest rated episode in hindsight, rather than like when people first saw it, they weren't like, this is the best. It was like, they saw the whole thing, then they went back and they're like, okay, that was a good one because that showed us where this came from.
Exactly. Like it shows the origin of Jesse who,
right,
you know, later does become involved with the Outriders as we see.
Yeah, a real quick summary of Jesse Blue. He is a very rapey Jack Nicholson with green elfish hair.
Jack Nicholson, definitely. He is very much a like possessive, like, I'm in love with you, so that means you have to love me back, and if not, I will force you to. So,
oh yeah, he tried to rape her. I mean, very obviously he was going to rape her. I'm like, yeah, rapey Jack Nicholson, great.
Yeah, I'm sure in the actual Bismarck show that might have been more of the implication.
Yeah.
Here it was just like he was forcing himself on her and she pushed him away, so who knows.
Hey, April, you're mine now, Sparky.
Yeah, he's a very annoying character, though. I'll say that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
This is where we also see the Wolfman enemy, and I think his name is literally Wolfman.
I think the only time I heard his name is Jesse, just referred to him as Wolf once or twice.
Maybe it's Wolf, yeah.
So I just refer to him as a wolf in my notes, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But he's basically just a wolf man wearing cowboy boots and shit.
But he's almost like Etrigan, where he tries to rhyme most of his sentences. Did you notice that?
Yes. Ugh, dude.
They're so
bad.
That
was not necessary whatsoever. We don't. Okay. Hang on, guys. Everyone, just put a pause on it. You already gave us a werewolf outlaw cowboy in space. We don't need him also to rhyme everything he says. It's ridiculous enough.
Yeah, like that's not a great, that's not a cool character trait unless it makes sense.
No,
but it's never. Here it's completely unnecessary.
That is never a cool character trait unless it's like, unless you're the Mad Hatter from freaking Alice in Wonderland, you don't need to be rhyming crap.
Yeah, I didn't get why they threw that on him. And he doesn't always do it. I mean, it's not even consistent. Like,
yeah, it's not.
He does it, I would say 75% of the time he does it, but then there are times where he's just talking to himself and he's just like, well, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, he had a couple lines where there was no rhyming. Like, I think the first time we see him, he rhymes. The second time we see him, he does not rhyme at all. The last several times we see him, he does nothing but rhyme.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh, yeah.
So... So I guess let's start off by saying Jesse Blue is a cadet in the Star Sheriffs. So he's on the side of good right now. And he's really trying to impress April, who he falls in love with immediately upon seeing her. And apparently she couldn't throw him or something was his claim.
So to give that context, I think the episode before this, they were at this place and they were sparring together, like all of the cadets were sparring, and April was sparring, and they were partners, and she physically couldn't pick him up and throw him. And he saw that as, ooh, I'm in love with her.
Well, it's weird because, like, he said, even though she couldn't throw me, I still love her. So it's basically, like, one of his prerequisites for falling in love is to be able to be thrown, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird, man.
I don't know. It was weird, but you know, it goes through the thing that we were talking about where he advances on her and she turns him down. And so he just really throws himself at her and kind of, I think at one point even like pushes her up against a wall and holds her there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the part where I'm like, this is getting real rapey real quick, because he slams her against a wall. He presses himself up against her and says, he says, "You belong to me."
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty uncomfortable.
It really was. It wasn't great to watch. And then, so she throws him, at, like, even going far enough to tell her, like, no one could ever love you like I do. Like, he is obsessed and crazy. And so she throws him into some barrels. And it just so happens that, like, I can't remember if, like, a wall, like, breaks open or a door opens and everybody sees him and it embarrasses him. One of the commanding officers is like, you know, I'm very disturbed by this, Jesse. Like, you're suspended. And then he's like, you can't suspend me. I quit. And he's gone.
It's like if you're getting fired from a job and you honestly do need that job, but just out of spite, you're like, man, whatever. I don't even need this job. And you're like, I quit. That's pretty much what this situation was, like him trying to look cool. He's like, yeah, you can't suspend me. I quit.
Exactly.
So stupid.
So he's trying to save face, I guess. And then his next move is literally going over to the Outriders base, you know, where Wolf is and all the other crew, and basically breaking in and being like, hey, you know, don't shoot me, but I can get us all into the base. I can get us all into the Star Sheriff base or Cavalry Command or whatever it is.
Yeah, he basically shows up. He's like, hey, I'm bad now. Let's do this thing. I can help.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then, like, so the Outriders, with Jesse's aid, sneak into the cadet base. They start a fire, which distracts everybody. While they're distracted, they get in ships and just start shooting everything, like destroying stuff, and just basically catches all the Star Sheriffs off guard and stuff.
They take some of their ships back that the Star Sheriffs had captured. It starts with, or it kind of ends that scene with Saber Rider being chased down by Jesse through the canyon.
There's a few things that happen. Well, not a few things that happen before that, but there's like a couple things in particular I wanted to point out is that, like, so Jesse, well, this is what he said as he was like, getting fired / quitting. It was just like, I'm the best cadet here.
Oh yeah.
If that's true, that's sad, because he is horrible at flying and shooting. Like, he passes over, I don't know who this guy is, but he's very much an Indian chief.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's running this base that they're at. And he is just, I mean, spam firing at this guy. And the guy doesn't even move. He's just standing there, still. And Jesse cannot hit him. He fires like 50 shots and misses every single one. And the guy didn't even flinch.
Right.
And then, he's kind of going after Saber Rider in this canyon, and he can't hit Saber Rider either. And he thinks he does at one time, but nope, Saber Rider is just like, nah.
April and the others are able to start capturing the Outriders, the other Outriders.
I thought that was lame, because they captured him off screen.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, they cut to April and she's like, we got him.
We're at their base. We got him.
Yeah.
Yeah. After the enemy base is captured, Jesse still chasing Saber Rider, and Saber Rider goes into some like construction or some like cave or something, and he can squeeze through it, but Jesse's not able to, and he starts like scraping, his ship starts scraping against the rock wall and eventually crashes because it loses, I think, one of its tail fins or something. And as he crashes down, he just kind of gets out casually and just kind of runs over and places a bomb on the ramrod.
Yes.
Then it comes to a point where he's, and this is where I was like, I wonder where this is going to go, because it comes to the point where, like, he sees April jump aboard and he's just like, no, like, not April. It's like, well, obviously April's a member of this team. How did you not expect her to get on this ship?
Right. It made me laugh though. Like when he, like, cause then the ramrod took off and he goes, April, trying to yell her name, but it's like his tongue got stuck in his mouth. April.
And so what I was thinking might happen, because, you know, I hadn't seen the other episodes first, was I was like, man, is he going to like sacrifice himself to save April? But no, instead he's just like,
nah.
Hey, Saber Rider, I put a bomb on your ship. I'm sorry.
Well, first he like chases Saber Rider again and like shoots at him. Yeah. Like trying to get Saber Rider's attention, I guess. And then Saber Rider like shoots him down.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, this guy sucks. Like, how was he the top cadet? He can't do anything.
Can't even communicate well. Like, not even give like a warning. He's like, his warning is aim is shooting at him to get his attention. And after he crashes down, or after he sees the Ramrod crashing down or something, or no, he tells him, he's like, hey, there's a bomb on the Ramrod. And Saber Rider jumps in to save, after it starts crashing from the bomb, Saber Rider jumps in and saves April and Fireball. And the ship then is headed straight for Cavalry Command. Like, that's what the place is called. And
that's right.
Yeah, Saber Rider is able to, like, I don't remember what he does exactly, but he's able to get it to veer. He's able to veer the ship off course so that it crashes elsewhere.
Yeah, he just, like, I think it was one of those cases where it was, like, engine failure. But, I mean, because of, you know, it's because of gravity, he can still, like, kind of try to direct where it crashes. So he manages to make it miss the base and crash into the desert.
Yeah, it would have been a great, like, moment of redemption if Jesse had been the one that did that. But instead, Jesse was kind of useless after he put the bomb on there. He's just like, hey, there's a bomb there. You might want to fix that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
As the episode closes out, we see a wanted sign put up on, I guess, a tavern or something where it's Jesse is now a wanted man. So Jesse just rips it off and tears it in half. Like, it's the only one in the world.
But we also got the, you know, obligatory, the entire team laughs at the end of the episode, like,
oh yeah, because Fireball had woken up from being knocked out and he's like, I had a funny dream about a roller coaster. Wonder why I dream about that. It's one of those situations where I bet in the Bismarck cartoon, he actually said something funny and they had reason to laugh. But right here, you know, we got a roller coaster joke.
He wakes up, he's like, I had this weird dream about getting a lube job.
Yeah.
And everyone's like,
I had a weird dream about giving Horseborg a lube job.
I want to see that on a bumper sticker. I had a weird dream about giving a Horseborg a lube job.
That no one would understand it except people who listen to this show.
So like five people. Yeah, five people.
The last episode we watched for today's show, and this was the one that was chosen by Kobe, was Happy Trails, season one, episode 52. This was a closing episode, as it even sounds like in the title of this series. And yeah, thanks Kobe for choosing it for us.
Thanks, Kobe.
So in this one, to end the war, Star Sheriffs must stop the computer that's still running the Outriders orbital station and is about to launch a desperate final attack that will destroy Yuma.
Yeah, that's kind of.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird thing where there's some stuff where I'm like, I wish I knew exactly what was going on, because it's like the Outrider base has this central computer that's called the Nth Degree.
Oh, the Nth Degree.
Yeah, it has this computer called the Nth Degree. But the Nth Degree is being controlled by this
nemesis
who used to be like an actual being, but I guess he was a cyborg being. And so
Nemesis was one of the vapors.
Yes. But I guess he was in some way, he was a cyborg, because then his brain got transferred into the computer after he was destroyed by, I think, Saber Rider. I'm not sure.
No, he was destroyed by Fireball's father.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because we find out that Fireball's father was a Star Sheriff. And I don't know when that's found out, but me and Joseph just found out in this episode. And that he wants to take revenge against the Star Sheriff and Fireball in particular because of that.
Like, it's a little confusing having not seen any of the other episodes and not knowing who Nemesis was, but
right,
you get the idea, the impression that he's basically the head honcho of the Vapors. Like,
well,
he's the
kind of, I don't know, because then, I mean, on paper, yeah, maybe, but It looks like Jesse Blue is one of the Vapors now somehow, and Jesse is leading them.
Yeah, but it's like Jesse is the de facto leader, but maybe that's because they don't, because it doesn't seem like they even know that Nemesis is alive still running the Nth Degree.
Yeah, because Jesse didn't know, it looks like, until this episode, that Nemesis was inside of the Nth Degree.
Yeah, so it's almost like Nemesis was kind of the mastermind behind everything, and Jesse was just the leader on paper or on the outside.
Right, so like he was the puppeteer, basically, and Jesse was the unknowing puppet.
Exactly, that's a great way to put it. We think. Yeah. We think that makes sense based on what we saw.
That's the only way for us to be able to make sense of what's happening.
To comprehend, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds pretty cool. So if that's not the way they did it, they should have.
I'm just like, how did Jesse make that big leap, though, to being like, you know, it left the cadets and decided to help these bad guys. And then all of a sudden he's the leader of the entire freaking like thing, or he's controlling this entire planet. I don't know, man. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, I don't know where he developed the skills that he definitely didn't have in the episodes we saw him in.
And he's basically like, he is running this planet starship kind of. It's basically a Death Star. It even has a giant gun in it. So it's a Death Star. He's got control of a Death Star.
Yeah. No, it's a Death Star.
Yeah.
What is it called? Oh, it's. I think it's just called the Outrider's base, though. Like, it doesn't have a name.
I think they call it the Outrider planet the whole time.
Okay, well, Outrider planet then. Yeah. But it is just a big Death Star. It doesn't seem like it's going to intentionally destroy Yuma at first. It's just like the planet is on course to collide with Yuma, and presumably both of them would be destroyed if that were the case. However,
right.
Jesse's plan is to arm this cobalt blue blaster gun that is basically the giant Death Star cannon on this Death Star. His plan is to arm this up and shoot Yuma, the planet, and destroy it before they collide into it.
Could they have like given it a longer name?
The cobalt blue blaster.
They go a little over the top with some of these.
Kind of a lot over the top, but whatever. That's okay.
But I actually like, you know, okay, so they, Colt is out of action. He's injured and we don't know why, but he was injured in some fight and he can't help. So we got Fireball and we got Saber Rider inside of Ramrod. They changed into the challenge phase or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is just the robot.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, let's go inside of the big gun. And
oh, yeah, that was their plan.
They're like, let's get inside of this gun.
Let's go inside of the cannon and shoot back at it. Because
yes,
clearly we as a two-man team have enough power to. And their plan isn't even like to stop it from shooting. It's just like, we're going to fire and then it's going to fire. And hopefully they're going to cancel each other out.
Right.
There's such a high risk. But it worked. It did work, but there's such a high risk of failure for that without any kind of knowledge going into it that it's like, man, this seems like a really poor plan.
It's basically like, okay, they're going to shoot this cannon. And when they do, we're going to fire a shotgun at the cannonball and we're going to hope that they cancel each other out, which that should not work, but it totally worked.
It would be essentially the equivalent of an X-Wing going inside of the Death Star cannon and shooting its proton torpedoes at the cannon, hoping that it cancels it out. A cannon that can destroy planets is going to be canceled out by this small robot's blast. I don't know.
Right.
And I was thinking, like, what's going to happen? Like, I was like, well, maybe it's going to, like, I don't know, destroy them, but it's not going to be destroyed. They're going to just pretend to get sent to the vapor dimension or something. But then I'm like, oh, no, it just literally canceled it out. That is not what I expected, but okay, well, good job.
It also managed to destroy or disable the cannon itself when that happened.
Uh-huh.
And then, so because that happened, Jesse's like, well, just got to take care of this myself. And so he gets in his own, like, mech suit and, like, goes out there. And actually, like, I got excited here. It kind of, like, came out of nowhere. They're like, yeah, we did it. And all of a sudden, like, they're just getting slammed into by Jesse. And I was like, yeah! Because I'm like, dude, like, I love me a good old mech suit battle. And so I was excited for that part.
Yeah, that was actually a cool battle, too. I mean, most of the battles in this show were cool because, like the original show was probably awesome and it carried the battles over. So the mech battle, Jesse had this, like, electric whip.
Oh, yeah, that thing was cool.
It was, and he used it and kind of wrapped it around Saber Rider at first and obviously was just electrocuting him.
So Colt had gotten out of bed and gotten to his ship and flew over to the rescue. He shot through that lasso or that whip and freed Ramrod, and then he docked into Ramrod, so all three of them were inside.
That's right.
And then I think they chased Jesse into the planet. Or maybe they went into the planet because they're like, Jesse's a distraction. We gotta go blow up the nth degree thing. And so I think Jesse followed them in.
Because Jesse wanted to blow up the nth degree too.
Well, yeah, because he wanted to destroy Nemesis.
Yeah.
But he was like, well, I gotta kill them first, then I can kill Nemesis.
So they're in this core for this awesome final battle, and they're fighting in there. And then I think at one point, like, Jesse kind of goes back to like, oh, you should have picked me, April. You should have picked me. And it's going back to the episode we had just watched, which is why I had said before that I'm glad we watched it so that we got the context there.
You know, one thing I like is so when they get in there, Nemesis kind of wakes up and he's just like, Ramrod, blah, blah, blah. And he's kind of giving the story of how he is there and why he hates everything. And my favorite line from that, though, and I was like, man, this writing was awful, is that he's like, do you know how boring it is being a computer? All you do is calculate all day.
Yeah. His main reason for wanting to destroy things is because he wants to get into, I don't know, come back to life as some other being or something because he's bored.
He's tired of calculating, dude.
All that calculating he has to do.
Yeah.
Stupid. So stupid.
Yeah, math sucks. So Ramrod is just like, nah, we shoot right. They basically, like, Nemesis or the nth degree or whatever, it's like a big eye in the middle of this thing. And they're like, well, let's just shoot into this eye. And
they take Jesse's saber from him.
Oh, yeah. And plunge it into that eye.
And then
things start blowing up.
Well, they first destroy Jesse's mech with it. And there's oil spilling everywhere. They throw the saber at the eye, which explodes. And then because of all the oil that was spilt around from Jesse exploding, it kind of causes a chain reaction.
Right.
We clearly see a scene. This goes back to what you were talking about. We clearly see a scene where Jesse is completely vaporized in this flame, obviously dead. Like
skin, flesh, like just melted away dead.
Yeah.
And then the whole planet goes. And then they're like, so the planet went back to the vapor zone? Does that mean it can come back? And I'm like, dude, come on. Yeah. No, they're all dead. Everything is dead.
They even say, like, I'm sure Jesse found a way back to the vapor zone. And and they'll probably find a way to come back. But we'll keep trying to make peace. And it's like, oh, man, that is so forced.
Seeing how that was the end of the series, no, he's not coming back. He's dead. He's super dead.
Yeah, he is as dead as can be. He didn't find a way back.
Oh, and then we see that April and Fireball are like, because it's doing like the end of the series, you know, they got to stand out the window look out the window as a team together. And Fireball and April are like cuddling together. And I was like, aw, adorable.
They found love.
Yeah, I liked it too.
I did. Yeah, that was good. And Jesse found death and they found love.
You know, it's part of the course.
Yeah. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we deputize our own inner kids as honorary Star Sheriff cadets, child-sized robotic horses and all, and see what they thought of Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs.
This show looked like it would be really bad, but it was actually kind of fun. I mean, cowboys in space are always a good idea, and I didn't actually hate the characters like I thought I would, but Jesse is just a creepy pervert like my soccer coach. So I gave this cartoon 3.5 bowls of Loop Job sugar cereal out of 5. Wait, what's a Loop Job?
To be honest, I both enjoyed the show and was very disappointed by it at the same time. Aside from the punches that were obviously being pulled to make it quote-unquote kid-friendly, the voice acting was pretty bad sometimes and the situations felt very forced. I suppose that shouldn't come as much of a surprise, seeing as this is a typical soft and American recreation/redub. On the positive side, the characters and vehicle designs were pretty solid and the battle scenes ended up looking very cool. This just wasn't enough to rescue the show for me, unfortunately. All in all, I'd give Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs 3 big bowls of Ramrod Challenge Crunch cereal out of 5, visually appealing, but without much else to offer. In closing, wherever cereal leads us, wherever cartoons need us, that's where you'll find Cartoon Boom.
We'll tell you about the lube thing when you're older.
Maybe.
Maybe. Or you know, because I am the older version of yourself, you're going to find out.
Well, yeah, as cadets, you eventually find out because you have to service Horseborg just to be promoted.
All I'm going to tell you is be a little more careful, okay? So do you have any final thoughts about this show?
Well, here's the thing for me. Like, I did like this show. I didn't love this show as it was, but I like the idea of it, and I like that it has an original Japanese version that I can go back and really enjoy. So again, I'm going to go back to saying this is, to me, the equivalent of Gatchaman, where I'm probably going to really like the Bismarck version of this. And so I'm going to go check it out, and I'll report back and let you know how it is. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be awesome, because the fight scenes were cool. The characters looked pretty cool. And I really think there was a lot to the story that we kind of missed out on because it was really dumbed down. But otherwise, I think it's something that kids can definitely enjoy because they don't care as much about the context as they do the action. And it's definitely got that. So I would say check it out for younger audiences. And as an older audience, maybe try to find the Japanese version because I think you'll enjoy that more.
Yeah, I was actually pretty surprised by this because just right out of the gate, I expected this to be like Battle of the Planets. And it was to an extent, but I enjoyed this quite a bit more than I did Battle of the Planets. And it's kind of like you said, like, I see a lot of potential in this show. And I'm like, there's some very, very cool elements once you get past all the cheese. And I feel like not as much as of that cheesiness is probably present in that Japanese version, because it was a lot more adult with like more violence and things like that. And not to say that that's what makes something adult, but I equate a lot of Japanese animation just tends to have a lot more thought put into it, like into the writing and things like that. So I am interested in seeing that. I wouldn't watch any more of this version, though I would be interested in maybe just reading up on Wikipedia and kind of filling in some of the gaps of the story, because I did enjoy the characters. I enjoy the premise quite a bit. But yeah, like I would rather see the Japanese version if I'm going to watch any more of it, which I don't know, but I'll at least read up on it and see what it was about. Like we talked about earlier, the animation of characters specifically, like talking, interacting, things like that, wasn't very good. But the battles were actually animated very well. So I can definitely see where budget was spent, like in the big battles and stuff like that, versus characters interacting, stuff like that, talking to each other. I say stuff like that a lot. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, guys. And also, with the interactions between characters and things, it's also very obvious that there's so much reused footage where you're seeing looping of the mouths as they talk. But the battles after the first episode, it seems like that wasn't really as evident. And yeah, like the show got more enjoyable for me as the farther down we got. The voice acting had some flaws, but the cast was good overall, and we know that they're talented people. So it was very obvious that the writing and the direction was not great on this show, but I can see what they were trying to do and the intention. So overall, I think it was enjoyable. It was enjoyable. Like, I didn't hate it at all. So yeah. And the Star Sheriff.
Yeah. I'm glad you added that in.
Yeah.
Lest we forget about the Star Sheriffs.
Yeah, no one will ever forget again.
So I don't think I'll ever forget about the Star Sheriffs, honestly, thanks to you, Kobe. So thank you for suggesting this to us.
Yeah, thanks for the Star Sheriffs, Kobe.
Well, listeners, looks like our milk supply is now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, we'll be watching
Transformers the Movie, suggested via me for my birthday. Yeah.
Yeah, happy early birthday.
Yeah.
Well, once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
We'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.